This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
So if you get out your sermon outline, you can follow along with the teaching time today. And I'd ask you to also follow along in your Bibles, because we're talking today about a very deep contrast in two vastly different ways of life. When we see the contrast, we'll know which one we should want to follow, and we'll know which one the Lord would like us to follow. And we see the contrast in these two lives in John chapter 18, verses 28, through John 19, verse 16. Again, that's John 18, 28, verses 19 through 16. Now, in our world of multifaceted media, there is a television channel, a web channel, or a web page devoted to just about any subject, topic, or area of interest and every question you might have. Now, on one sense, this is great because there's just so much information out there. But on the other hand, a lot of this can actually breed some confusion, could it not? Because there's so many things out there. Not only that, you can find a TV channel devoted to any interest, and you can find a TV channel devoted to the people who are interested in the opposite side of that thing. And you can find a web page that will tell you just about anything. No, I stand corrected. You can find a web page that will tell you anything you want to hear or see or read, because somebody's done it. And sometimes we're tempted to wonder, well, yeah, who's right? Which side of this issue is the right one? And folks, let me tell you, Christians can become just as easily confused on some of the weightier issues because some of those opposing opinions sound so sincere, do they not? And it can start to play with your mind and mess with your head. And we can actually be confused unless we are so firmly rooted in the Word of God and that our moral compass is straight and pointed towards true north, which would be towards Jesus, and have that set of beliefs that are anchored fully and completely in the Word of God by His Holy Spirit. That is the only filter that will prevent us from being so thoroughly confused by this massive amount of information that's available out there. Now, one such person who is in our scripture passage today who did not have this God-centered moral compass and a God-centered worldview was the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. And it's for good reason that we think of Pontius Pilate as a tyrant. He worked for the Roman emperor. He had absolute authority in Judea and the Galilee and his provinces over which he ruled. And history and the Lord himself will even tell us that he did some really brutal things. He ordered the crucifixion of hundreds of people. Yet, inside this rough exterior lurked a powerfully confused man. And we're going to see that today. He had unlimited power by the authority of the emperor, Tiberius. Yet today we're going to see a situation where the mantle of power did him absolutely no good. When the time came to have to make a decision on life or death, yes, it worked out okay for us in the end. But he had it before him to choose what's right, and he didn't know what to do. And we'll see that. So again, our passage is John 18, 28 through John 19, verse 16. Follow along, please, as I read. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And they answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you. Pilate said to them, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. And the Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? They cried out again, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, hail, King of the Jews, and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, see, I bring him out to you again, that you may know that I find no guilt in him. So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, behold the man. When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said to them, take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him. And the Jews answered him, we have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he's made himself the Son of God. When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, you will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? And Jesus answered him, you would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, if you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. So when Pilate heard those words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of the preparation of the Passover, and it was about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, behold your king! They cried out, away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. Now, last week we talked about emptying ourselves and becoming a slave of Christ. And this is on your outlines. We talked about the Holy Spirit giving us a heart that is like Jesus. By contrast, this week we're talking about Pontius Pilate and Jesus, of course. Because remember the old adage that the answer to every question in church is Jesus? So we're talking about Jesus, but we're talking about Pontius Pilate. What do we really know about Pontius Pilate? Besides the fact that he was the Roman governor, because the passage said that numerous times. What do we know about this guy?
He was mean.
What's that?
He was mean.
He was mean, okay. What else do we know about him?
Confused.
And he was very confused, okay. Those are two good answers. He was mean and confused, all right. Contrast that with Jesus, who was God in the flesh. Jesus knew who he was, and he knew his purpose. He knew his mission, and he knew what his life on this earth was about. This week, we're going to look at Pilate and Jesus and see how Pilate's not being a servant of the Lord's kingdom was devastating to him. And we can get that from the first part of the passage, verses 29 through 32. And I won't read it again because we had a fairly long scripture passage today. But Pilate asked the charge the Pharisees were bringing. So he asked the Jews, why? What has he done? What has he done? Now, if you look at the passage, you'll see in verse 30, they give him an answer. What kind of answer did the Jews give to Pilate over this question?
If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you.
Okay, so is that a real answer to Pilate's question?
Not really.
No. Because they said, what has he done? He said, well, if you weren't doing anything wrong, we wouldn't have brought him to you. It's almost like they had their hands on their hips, you know, saying that.
They didn't know what they were doing either.
They did know what they were doing. They were trying to get rid of Jesus. And so they were very purposeful and intentional about that. But politely speaking, they gave the governor, the Roman governor, a fairly snarky reply, if you will. If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you. So they didn't have a charge against him. They just knew they wanted to get rid of Jesus. So they brought him to Pilate. Now, what did Pilate say in response to that? What did he say? And I think we find this in verse 31. Well, what did Pilate say, rather?
Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law.
Right. Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. And do you think this might give us at least a small inkling that Pilate's clue meter wasn't entirely on zero? Because he said, hey, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. Yeah. I think he had a fairly decent idea that the entire reason that Jesus was standing before him was because the Jews hated him, they were jealous of him, and they were trying to get rid of him. And so Pilate did have that much awareness of what in the world was going on. This was his first inkling that this situation was not any ordinary situation. And if he didn't have it, he should have, when the Jews, the Pharisees, replied, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. The little light bulb should have come on in Pilate's brain right at that moment. Wait a minute. This is going a little farther than what I was thinking. But did it? Well, Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me? That's God's insight, saying, well, do you know this for sure, or are you just telling me this because somebody else told it to you? Now, Pilate answered, am I a Jew? He's trying to dismiss the issue here. Am I a Jew? Do you really expect me to understand all of this stuff? That's basically what Pilate's saying. But he's also saying, your own nation and chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? And Jesus gives a very Jesus-like answer here. My kingdom is not of this world or from the world. And then he says later at some point along here, if it were, my servants would be fighting, so they wouldn't have delivered me over to you. So Pilate then says, so you're a king. Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Here's Pilate's second instance of really not having a grasp of what's really going on. What does he say in verse 38?
What is truth?
Pilate doesn't know. Pilate asked Jesus if he was the king of the Jews. And Jesus quizzes him, do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me? And Pilate's answer shows here that he's not at all on the same page. Because he says, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? Then Jesus gave the my kingdom is not of this world. My servants would have been fighting. This is where Pilate's confusion started to enter into the picture. Pilate was not a Jew. He was a Roman. And yes, he was brutal, but he was there to keep the peace. And that was a tough chore for anybody, because if he was the Roman governor, we know that he had been fully briefed and given a full intelligence briefing about what the province of Judea would be like before he went. So he knew that the Jews had been constantly at war with one of their neighboring kingdoms for over 1,000 years. He knew that there had been frequent rebellions. Pontius Pilate probably had heard of the Maccabees, the guerrilla group led by Judas Maccabeus that drove the Greeks out of Judea, Samaria, and the Galilee. And he had probably also heard about those two guerrilla leaders that Rabbi Gamaliel mentions in Acts chapter 5. You remember when Gamaliel is telling the Sanhedrin, wait a minute, leave these guys alone. If it's not of God, it will come to nothing. You remember this old guy, Theudas, you know, and then this other fella. So Gamaliel's telling him, these two guys rose up and they disappeared. But Pilate no doubt knew about that. And he also knew about Barabbas. It was a very recent case that he had no doubt judged himself and put Barabbas in prison because Barabbas wasn't just a robber. Other scripture accounts tell us that he was guilty of murder during one of the attempts to overthrow the Roman government. So here's this Roman saying, my gosh, here those people go again. They've been constantly fighting for thousands of years, and they're still at it. So Pilate, though, at this point we see, doesn't have the wisdom to understand what's happening right in front of his very eyes. He may have been saying, what's wrong with these people? But he doesn't get the real base issue behind that. He also, though, does know that Jesus is innocent. But he can't figure out what to do about it. Do we see that? Let's keep going. John 18, 37, Pilate asked Jesus, so you're a king then? Jesus replied that Pilate was right for calling him a king, adding, for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And then Pilate asks the infamous question, what is truth? Pilate can't recognize truth. And in fact, he probably doesn't have any concept of what truth really is. And what's more, there's a very cruel irony being played out right in front of Pilate. Can anybody tell me what that is? Because Pilate asks, what is truth? And this is such an ironic situation and such an ironic question for Pilate to ask. Can anybody tell me what the irony is?
He doesn't even care. He doesn't want to know the truth.
Well, that's true. He doesn't want to know the truth, but there's something even better than that. What's that? Very good. That's exactly right. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, is standing right in front of him. Truth incarnate is standing less than 5 feet away from this guy, and he says, what's truth? That is almost the cruelest of ironies we can have. Because this guy has truth embodied right in front of him, and he doesn't recognize it. So Pilate went back into the large porch and announced that he found no guilt in Jesus. Pilate's getting ready to miss and have his third strike here, if you're going to count strikes. His serious error causes him to release Barabbas instead, the insurrectionist, to the people. It only goes farther downhill for Pilate from that point. He has Jesus flogged. His soldiers mock Jesus. They put the crown of thorns on his head, and they beat Jesus. And this is on your outline. The crowd screamed bloody murder, demanding that Jesus be crucified. Pilate told the Jews to judge Jesus themselves, but the Pharisees replied, "We have a law. And according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. This is an important part of the story. Pilate was afraid. The brutal governor, who Jesus told us mingled the blood of some of the martyrs with the martyrs' sacrifices, was afraid. "Where are you from?" Pilate demanded of Jesus. By this time, there's rebellion in the streets. There's panic in the soul of this Roman political figure. He's afraid, and if we think about this scene, we might even see a certain amount of terror in Pilate's eyes. He's looking at Jesus saying, "Where are you from? Who are you?" Jesus didn't answer. And that's a fulfillment of the scripture that Isaiah gave us. In Isaiah 53:7, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Now by this time, Pilate was very nervous and likely asked in a demanding voice, "Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you? Don't you know? Don't you know?" Jesus replies again, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above." That was Pilate's cue to try to release Jesus. The Bible tells us that from that point onward, Pilate tried to find ways to let Jesus go. He's afraid and he wants to release Jesus. Do you wonder if by this time the words of his wife weren't buzzing around in his head? Do you remember in the Gospel of Matthew, Pilate's wife sent a message to him and said, "Don't have anything to do with this man. I have suffered in a dream because of him." And so there he is. This mob of people are yelling, "Crucify him!" And then his wife's dream's going, "Don't have anything to do with this guy. Don't have anything to do with this guy." And there he is, and these people are shouting and yelling and screaming, and he's standing there, and Jesus is standing there quietly before him, not saying a word. Yes?
Doesn't he think he washes his hands from it?
That's later. But see, think about this. That's the reason John's account of the crucifixion scene is probably the most vivid and the most dramatic, because you read this and you get this sense of this terror that might be afflicting Pilate at this time. And the confusion that he has. There's a mob screaming. His wife had told him, "Leave this guy alone." And Jesus isn't saying a thing. He said, "But you'd have no power over me unless it had been given you from above." So there he is, caught in the middle of an epic, eternally significant drama that he didn't have any way to understand, except one, if he had taken it. But he didn't. The fact is that he's caught up in this event and confused doesn't make him innocent. Let's get that straight. That doesn't mean he's a good guy, and that doesn't mean he's innocent by any means. But it shows the confused human side of this power-hungry villain. He had received warnings, and his own conscience was screaming at him about what to do, but he can't make the right choice. It's easy for us to criticize this man, Pilate. But how different from him are we when we have the facts before us? We see the logic of the situation. We know what is right and what we ought to do, but we give in and do the wrong thing anyway. How often has that happened to any one of us? We know what's right. We know the facts. We know the logic, but we give in to the impulse and do the wrong thing anyway. Think about it. The same people who shouted Hosanna on Sunday were yelling, "Crucify him," on Friday. Let's ponder that for a little bit. How different does this make us from any one of those people, including Pontius Pilate? But once again, last week, we talked about emptying ourselves and becoming a slave of Christ. We talked about the Holy Spirit giving us a heart that is like Jesus. And for a few weeks before that, we talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Pilate knew Jesus was innocent and not guilty of one solitary thing. Yet when the time came, he failed. You see, Pilate was a slave of the wrong kingdom. Everybody with me on that? He was a slave of the wrong kingdom. Pilate was a servant of Rome, a latter-day Babylon, if you will, take some illustrations from the book of Revelation. Rome was the style. Rome was the glamour of the world at that time. Rome was the center of worldly thinking. Rome was the center of business. Rome was the center of fashion. Rome was the intellectual center of the world at that time. All of the glitz and the glamour of the world was centered in Rome. So Pilate's mind was steeped in the emptiness of the world's system. Pilate's value system and morals were dictated by the false sense of security that money and power give and the devil's system of values. When the time came, Pilate chose to preserve his career rather than to apprehend the truth of who Jesus really was and still is. So here's the major point for today, and it's this. To avoid being like Pilate, go to the Lord. Go to the Lord and verbally confess that you don't want to be ruled and governed by the world's empty values. Go to the Lord and declare that you want to be led and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to cleanse you from all past hurts. If you've been wounded by the world's values, or if you've been wounded by anyone who has betrayed you with the Judas kiss, or if you've been hurt by someone, or if you've been damaged by anything in the world, ask the Lord because He wants to heal you. Ask the Lord because He is God and He wants to heal you. Ask the Lord to reveal to you in each and every way that the lies of the world have corrupted your thinking and made it difficult for you to make the right decisions or to have the joy of the Lord working in your life. Ask the Lord. Talk to Him. Then what you do is you surrender and you rededicate yourself to the one and only one who can cleanse your heart, cleanse your soul and your mind, and completely renew you from the inside out. Then it's time, when this happens, to say to the Lord, like Jesus said so beautifully in the Garden of Gethsemane. Does anybody remember what Jesus said? A little louder, please.
My will, but your will.
Not my will, but yours be done. And since today is Pentecost, it would be entirely appropriate also to ask the Lord to baptize you in His Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.